morning. Good morning. God bless each of you so richly. Thank you, Brother John. I just love that. That picture is so beautiful of what God can do. And young people, if you could get a hold of that in your spiritual life, the actual struggles that you're faced with, that there is grace enough to overcome. That's powerful and it's such a blessing. Praise the Lord. Stand with me as we pray. Our Father in heaven, again here we call upon you. We submit our hearts to you. Please teach us. Please instruct us from your word. We live in a untoward generation, and we pray for direction and guidance for our practical everyday life, Lord, as we look at this aspect of money and wealth and accumulation and all of these things, Lord, that we have to do with in this life. And yet we realize that we can take nothing with us. Help us to have the right perspective. Implant it upon our hearts. And Lord, we want to be effective in your kingdom. And we pray, Lord, that you would please break the bread of life to us in such a way this morning we can understand how to do that and how to be effective, even with our pennies. So have your way among us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Spending or being spent. Isaiah 55, verse 1 and 2, beautiful words there. Sometimes I look at it as the invitation in the Old Testament. The invitation in the New Testament is found in Matthew chapter 11. That great invitation that where Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." In Isaiah 55, he says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye and buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk. Without money and without price." And what he's talking about here is coming to that water. There is a fountain that is free for all. And you can come and drink from it. And Isaiah is inviting us to do that. You can come with no money. There's no money needed. And you can't even buy it. You can't even buy what he's talking about and what he has to offer. Verse 2, though, he says, "Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread's, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness." That's the key verse here as I look at this topic of spending or being spent. "Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread?" Now, bread is a very staple substance that we eat. If you go to, or we've had people from Spanish countries, South America type countries, where they have a lot of rice and so forth. They come here, and maybe this isn't for all of them, but we have encountered these. Who come and we serve them our best. You know, we make this delicate meal of mashed potatoes and gravy and the whole scoop, you know, and we feed that to them and they eat that, and then when they're finished, they're like, where's the real food? They were looking for rice. They were looking for what they were used to as a mainstay. And in that, I look at this and he says, "Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread?" Which is not the staple. The bread here is how would I describe it? But rather, it's just something that is a mainstay. The necessity of life, you could say. And he says, "Hearken diligently unto me." He says, "Eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness." He also asks this question, "In your labor," in relation to money, he says, "in your labor for that which satisfieth not." Spending I'd like to talk a little bit about spending habits to begin with here. You know, we all spend money. When your spending goes beyond your income, we eventually become spent. And that's where I bring my title from, is that whole concept that when you spend beyond your income, you eventually become spent. Now let me go a little bit further. I think all of us know that if you have a checking account, you put money in and you can draw that amount back out. If you don't put money in, you can't draw it back out. So that's a pretty simple thing. Now, as a little child, in my growing up years, there was little children sometimes that didn't quite have that perception right. And they were like, well, Daddy, why can't you buy this? You're saying you can't buy it. Just write a check. And sometimes we have that mentality with a lot of things about finances. Well, just write a check or just swipe the card. And we have these mentalities in our spending habits. And that's called what? Young man, what's that called when you draw too much out of your checking account? What does the bank call that? An overdraft, an overdraw. Oh, that's right. There's some consequences with that, right? There are people who have made foolish choices in their youth. Today they're married. They have a growing family. But because of the poor choices that they made when they were single, they are physically spent and need to work to try to make the ends meet. And some have physically grown sick because of these financial pressures, and their body is spent. That word spent in Webster's means used up, exhausted of activity, or required components or qualities. Exhausted of activity or required components or qualities. Drained of energy or effectiveness. And I'd like to highlight that one. That's what it will become when we overdraft ourselves in our spending habits. Our effectiveness, will I say, for the kingdom of God goes down very quickly. As we think about spending habits, there's two words that I'm thinking about here in our spending habits. And you've probably heard these two words before, possibly. Is it a want or is it a need? Those are very practical things we need to ask ourselves. They are very different from each other. And it is of utmost importance and utmost necessity that we learn to evaluate between the want and the need in our spending habits. Philippians 4 verse 19 says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." And that's why I left this up here, because I wanted to reference back to what Brother John was saying. God is saying, in the midst of our need, He can supply all of those things in the midst of our need. Now, one thing that we sometimes get mixed up in this verse is that God didn't say here that my God shall supply all your wants, but all your needs. So that's very crucial and very important. There's a difference there. Another aspect that comes into play here as we talk about wants and needs, and I want to talk about this one just a bit more extensively maybe. But this thing of contentment is a big, big factor. And it's a quality that will keep us from becoming spent. Contentment. 1 Timothy 6:6-8. "But godliness with contentment is great gain." Now, when we're talking about finances and financial aspects, great gain is something we desire after. Huh? I mean, if you have no gain, why be in the business at all? So you need some gain. But here he says that godliness with contentment is great gain. It's something that is of huge value to us. For we brought nothing into this world. Is that correct? None of us brought anything into this world. I could tell you a little story there, but I'll skip that one. Oh, about my daughter. But anyway, you can ask me some other time. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. I have yet to see anyone carrying anything out of this life. And having food and raiment, he says, let us be therewith content. You know, contentment affects how we spend. Advertisements. Do you know what they're meant to do? They are meant to make you feel discontentment. To the point that they make you feel like you're missing out. That you're missing out and you need this item. I found this interesting and I was trying to find it here this morning, but I couldn't find it. I'm just going to pull it from my memory. But margarine, when margarine was invented, it was invented back in 1869. Before that, it was butter. Now we have margarine. But back in 1869, it was invented by a French chemist named Mr. Maurice. And it was when the product came out, it was very, very difficult to market it because the people didn't want it. They didn't want it. It was just disgusting to them. And so there was another man that came up with this idea to create a nice silver wrapping and create a nice, basically the design we have today, just basically re-advertise it. And it started selling just like that. Just because of an advertisement. They had to make the people feel like they're missing out. And then it would start selling. Contentment. He says here that we should be content with food and raiment. That's the basics to sustain life. Food and raiment. And am I right that this is not saying that we should never buy anything outside of food and raiment? Probably so. I would say that way. But rather it speaks of the difference between a want and a need. Now you put godliness and contentment together, it'll save you a lot of money. It'll save you a lot of money. It'd be great gain for you. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, which is not a need? Some questions we should ask. In the light of our spending habits, questions we should ask before we buy. You might want to jot these down. Do I really need it? Do I really have money to spend on this? How will this affect my life? Can I live without it? Is there a better place for me to invest this? And then you can put a dollar figure there if you like. I put $10 down. Is there a better place for me to invest this $10? And another question to ask could be this. And this is more tangible items, maybe not food items as such, but could I? Do I need it to be new? Or could it be used? Those are just some basic questions for us to consider. Our wants can get very strong to the place that they almost become or feel like a need. Our wants can become that strong. I knew a man that he had to have a few Mountain Dews a day. And if he didn't get those Mountain Dews, and I can't remember exactly how many it was, but he would take, I know, multiple cans along to his workplace as he worked. And he had to have them, he told me, or he'd get the shakes. He'd start shaking if he didn't have his Mountain Dew. And so it seemed like it went from a want maybe to a need. He had to have it. The average American spends about $1,100 per year on coffee. The average American, that's $92 per month, or we could talk about it being per day, it would be about $3 a day, about two cups. And that's obviously there in reference to probably if you go out and purchase it at the gas station and so on. I'd like to jog your mind just a little bit with that, if you like figures. If you take $92 a month, which is that $3 a day, if you take $92 a month, and you would set that $92 a month aside for a year, and you would put it in a place where it would draw, let's say, 4% compound interest. At the end of the year, you know, every month you're paying $92 into this little fund, and you're gaining 4% interest, compound interest on it. By the end of the year, you would have saved $1,473.69. That's only $3 per day. Now, you know, purpose-filled perspectives for pennies. And what I'm talking about is that the little things make a difference. The little things make a difference. And think about, if I would deny myself for 1 year, 1 year, and put on this, just let's say take coffee. If I would deny myself 1 year and put that money away, specific when every time I just about have to have that coffee. Oh, okay, yeah, we're going to take this $3 or this $1.50 or whatever it is, and we're going to put it into this little kitty. And we're going to save it up to the end of the year. And then, at the end of the year, we're going to turn that money loose for the kingdom of God. Whew, what a blessing! What a blessing it could be in your own life. There's something about the discipline of those things that's good. And I'm not knocking coffee. I drink some coffee and so on. But it's amazing what we can spend without thinking on some of this stuff. While we've been here, I was speaking with another brother, and he said, well, it's very similar. I was illustrating this to him, and he said, well, he heard here recently, and I didn't push the numbers, but he said if a 16-year-old would deny himself till the age of 21 of a cell phone, this is assuming that he pays the cell phone and the plan and the phone and so forth. If he would deny himself from 16 to 21 of a cell phone, by the time, if he would put that money away in a kitty, by the time he's 21, he could buy himself a nice vehicle. Amazing. Like I said, I didn't push the numbers, but I think he's probably right with all that. So should we never buy a want? Well, that's not what I'm saying. But I would say with carefulness, and I would say this. How often are you buying that want? How often are you buying that want? How frequently? When I stand before God to give an account of my stewardship and how I spent, whose money is it anyway? His money. Will He be pleased with me, and will He say, well done, when there are children dying of hunger each day, when there are thousands of people going to a Christless grave because nobody showed them the way, when I could have turned those few dollars that I spent on my habits and turned them into Bibles for those who have never heard the good news. When I stand before God, will He say, well done, thou good and faithful servant? I just want to lay that upon us in light of our spending habits. How does God look at it? How much am I spending just on me, upon my own selfish cravings? And I'm not here to put any condemnation on anyone, but we're not going to take anything along with us when we die. And my desire is that we all could take what God is giving us and be good stewards of Him and build the kingdom of God. Have that focus. And it comes back to what I've been building on the whole week here. You know, that the purpose why we work and why we should. And just the desire to see all of us persevere into the kingdom of God and lay away our own selfish ideas and the world, trying to press us into their mold. This is a little side note, and I should have maybe put this toward the end. I'll talk a little bit more about it at the end of the message, but I have it right here, and I just want to put a little plug in here for these courting couples that are here. God bless you. There's something that I think you should discuss sometime along the way in your courtship, and that is your views on money and how your spending habits are, both of you, between the both of you, to discuss how your spending habits are. There was a young man and a young lady who had interest in each other. They had some major differences in their vision and direction in these areas. And the courtship began. They tried to talk about their goals in this area, but would end up arguing. A brother who had concern about the situation took the young man aside and asked him whether he had discussed finances. No, he said, we have tried talking several times, and every time we get into an argument. So we decided not to discuss it anymore. We seemed to get along better if we left it alone. They went on to get married this way. And today, what do you think? It's a source of conflict in their marriage. Another couple, similar to this one, also from vastly different upbringings. One was surrounded by everything wealth could afford. The other in the midst of frugality. But they were able to talk about it and look at scriptural principles. They also got married and today are a shining example of a simple and basic lifestyle. Talk about it. Share together on these subjects. It will affect your marriage. It will affect your marriage. And the more you can be together on those issues and your goals and your visions together on finances, that finances has driven many marriages apart. Many marriages have failed all because of money or how we spend it or the lack of it. In Gary Miller's book, Charting a Course in Your Youth, he has a chapter in there on money and marriage. And he writes this little story here. He says, I sat in the high school cafeteria and listened as Jane told me her dilemma. Ronald had been courting her for many months, and everything seemed to be going fine. But now Jane wasn't sure. She told of several events that had caused her to stop and wonder how responsible Ronald really was. But each time uncertainty had filled her heart, Jane had talked to Ronald, and he had explained everything. And now, said Jane with anguish in her voice, he just went out and blew $700 on a new rifle he doesn't need. And I can't believe he did that. He already owes several people money. But it seems every time he gets a little money in his pocket, he just can't wait to spend it. These doubts continued to bother Jane, and it was not long until Ronald and Jane's courtship terminated. I was friends with Ronald as well, and he never could understand what the big deal was. Why make such a big issue over how a man spends a little money? But I've watched Ronald and Jane over the years. Jane went on to marry a responsible Christian man, and they had a godly family. Ronald's life has been much different. His irresponsible tendencies have affected every part of his life. His financial, marital, and spiritual life is in shambles. While he probably explained why it was all someone else's fault, the results are too obvious to ignore. Jane was absolutely right in refusing to marry a man who could not handle his money. Powerful, powerful witness, powerful testimony. And I don't know where young men are in your spending habits, but the way that you're spending your money right now is pretty, pretty important. The visions and the goals that you have right now are very important. I see a lot of young men spending money for that which is not bread. They have no vision and they have no purpose in their spending and in their money, other than we just see that here's what I want right now. And we spend money for that which isn't bread. It could be in sporting goods stores. It could be elsewhere. But I'd just like for you to open your heart to the Lord. Say, Lord, search me in this area. What are my spending habits like? Sisters, on your end of the spectrum, maybe you're not tempted so much this way, but I think you're going to face it too. And you're probably already facing it. You know, do you really need that third purse? Do you really need that third pair of shoes or that fifth sweater of yours, you know, that you just saw somebody else wearing and just really like that and kind of matches with this? And you know the tendencies we have. Where is contentment in the midst of our lives? I just want to encourage us in that. Consider the spending habits you are forming. When you feel you have a need of something, begin by praying about it. Begin by praying about it. This goes for both men and women, but I find it's very helpful. If I'm going to the store, if I'm going to town, if I have a list when I go shopping, I don't know how it is for you, but I have found, and I don't even like to go to Walmart. And one of the reasons I don't like to go to Walmart is because that seems like every time I go there, they've moved what I wanted over here to over there. Did you ever notice that? Do you know why they do that? Now, I'm assuming, all right, so may I assume? I'm assuming the reason that they do that is because they want you to walk from the one end of the store to the other. Because as you're walking along pushing your cart, somehow things just fall into your carts. Have a list. It helps things stay on the shelf that needed to stay on the shelf. And, you know, obviously sometimes we don't think about something that we really needed. And we walk past, oh yeah, there. But so many times we walk along and, yeah, well, that's a good deal. Yeah, into the cart it goes. We just pay for it with a check. No, we just swipe the credit card, right? Impulsive buying generally is not a good thing. Impulsive buying. Think about it. Pray about it. And the larger the dollars, the longer you should pray about it. You'll encounter that as you get older. And I feel like the Apostle Peter when he said, if you do these things, you shall never fall. Taking it out of context there a bit, but if you do these things, you shall never fall. Next, I'd like to talk about a few different aspects of finances, spending or being spent. We talked about our spending habits here a bit.